Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
All right, if you would please open your Bibles to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, this is God's Word. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this: those He redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So He subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. For He breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent forth His word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of His works with songs of joy. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, His wonderful deeds in the deep, for He spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and He guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt Him in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who lived there. He turned the desert into pools of water, the parched ground into flowing springs. There He brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and He did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. You want to be wise or you want to be unwise? No, I mean, really, what do you want? Life is full of people who are unwise, who live stupidly. I'm talking about whether you live for the Lord or whether you live for yourself, whether you treat people in a way that builds them up and encourages them and blesses them, which will come back to you, or whether you live selfishly and burn bridges and ruin relationships and end up isolated and alone and no one to turn to. You want to be wise or do you want to be foolish? We're offered that alternative every day. If you want to be wise, look at the last verse. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Your perspective on him is going to determine your perspective on everything else. If you ignore him, or if you feel like he's out to get you, or if you feel like I shouldn't have to do what he says, then you will live very foolishly. But if you realize that God loves us and is kind and merciful, and so you trust in him and obey him, you will find again and again and again and again that the Lord delivers those who trust in him. Now go back and look at this series of testimonies. He begins by saying, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. What does it mean, redeemed? That means you've been bought back. That's our condition if we're in Christ Jesus. We were lost, spiritually dead, hopeless apart from God's mercy. And he redeemed us. He sent Jesus to pay the price so that we could be his. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, north and south. And then he begins to describe scenarios. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. How is it possible that there is so much suffering? Well, if you look at this, you find that it's possible because people do the wrong thing. Now, does that mean every time somebody's suffering, it's because they did the wrong thing? No, sometimes they're suffering, and it even mentions this later, some suffered as a result of oppression. Sometimes we're suffering because somebody else is doing the wrong thing. But in every case, our suffering is ultimately the result of sin. We live in a world that is under a curse because of sin. And it's not just other folks who've sinned. We've messed up too. Even if in this particular case our suffering is because of somebody else. But yes, I've messed up also. Right? You can't say, well, I've never done anything. Well, you can, but then you're very foolish. I hope there's nobody in this room or in the sound of my voice who is that foolish. Because you got to be psychotic. You got to be nuts. Narcissistic beyond belief. If you think you've never done anything wrong, I've never done anything that I thought was wrong. Well, then you're just crazy. Okay? You are just flat crazy. Because people all around the world who've never heard of the Ten Commandments, don't know the name of Jesus, know that they've messed up. Religion everywhere is about the innate recognition that all people everywhere have of the fact that there is something greater than us and that we haven't even kept our own understanding of what's right and wrong. How many of you would say that within the last year you've done something you wish you hadn't done? Yeah, well, say. Okay, How about in the last 6 months? Okay. How about within 30 days? Really? Within the last 30 days? Of course! We are prone to mess up. And so in all these cases where there's suffering, it is because either these people messed up or somebody else did, and the consequences were painful. So when you get in a situation that is tough, don't say, well, I don't understand if there's a God, how I could be going through such a tough time. Well, if there is no God, then what's wrong with tough times? If there's no God, what's wrong with killing people? If there's no God, there really isn't a difference between committing genocide or being a humanitarian or making a peanut butter sandwich. I mean, it's all irrelevant. Just whatever you feel like. Right? The reason why something inside us says this isn't the way it's supposed to be is because there is a God and this isn't the way it's supposed to be. So, these folks were hungry, they were thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. They were in danger of dying. Well, there's nothing to be done for them, is there? Is there any hope if you're in a situation like that? Verse 6, what did they do? Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. What a wonderful, succinct statement that is the refrain all through this psalm. So you got misery, destruction, in danger of death. Then they cried out to the Lord. And God didn't say, well, you got yourself in this mess. I'm just going to watch. No. When they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way. Well, look, they were finding no way to a city where they could settle. Now he's leading them, in verse 7, by a straight way to a city where they could settle. The thing that seemed completely unobtainable is now within their reach because they're being led by the Lord. God is able to do what we can't do. He's able to bring it to pass. So what should you do if that's what your story is? Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Cry out to the Lord. And what does he do? He doesn't ignore us. If you're crying out and saying, God, I want you to do my bidding, that's not crying out to the Lord. Not in the right way. But if you're crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, I give up. I can't handle this. You take over. You be in charge. That is a prayer God will answer. But you've got to realize, he's in charge. He's in control. He may not pick you up and take you where you wanted to go, but he'll pick you up and take you where you need to be. God has promised to do it. And he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Then some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains. Why? For they had rebelled against the words of the Lord and despised the counsel of the Most High. God said, do this. And we said, no. God said, if you do that, it's going to lead to death. And we said, no, I'm not so sure. And then we end up imprisoned. I cannot count the number of people I've dealt with over the years who have suffered with horrible addictions. I mean, it might as well have been metal chains. They were absolutely bound because they despised the counsel of the Most High. And so he subjected them to bitter labor. He subjected them, God, to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. Then what? Then they cried to the Lord. That's what you need to do. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. Brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom, broke away their chains. So what should they do now? Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds to men, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Do you think there's any problem you have that is too tough for God? I mean, really. Is any addiction too great an addiction for God to break? The most effective drug treatment program in our nation is Teen Challenge, started by a hillbilly preacher from West Virginia by the name of David Wilkerson, who's now in heaven. David read in Time magazine about the horrible gang problem in New York City back in the 1950s, and God put on his heart, you need to go to New York and try and do something to reach those young people. So he went to New York and literally tried to do street evangelism using various illusions, sleight of hand, magic show type stuff. And he was not making any headway. And he began to set aside his tricks and gimmicks and all the clever things he'd come up with in order to try and be creative and cutting edge, do ministry on the street. And he said, God, I know you brought me here. I don't know what else to do. Please, just do what you want with me. And God began to work through him in a powerful way. And people began to be converted, and drug addicts got off drugs, and people who were in gangs gave their lives to Christ. And what God did through him in New York City spread all over the world. Some years later, there was a group of recovered addicts from Teen Challenge who were giving their testimony in a church, and they said that Teen Challenge had a recovery rate of more than 60% from people who'd been mainlining heroin. And someone in the crowd came up afterwards and said, what is the percentage of recovery from mainlining heroin addicts? And they said, it's over 60%. And he said, I'm a professor with NYU, and I am a specialist in the field of addiction and treatment, and I don't believe you. Would you be willing to have a group of researchers from NYU take a closer look at the recovery rate? He said, I'm a Christian. I'm not here to oppose you, but you shouldn't be saying that if it's not true. And if it is true, it's a miracle. And they said, well, yeah, it is a miracle, but you're welcome to do the research. So he got a team of students, and he supervised the research. They came back, and they said, your numbers were wrong. You do not have just over 60%. You have over 80% recovery from folks who are mainlining heroin, who have been released from bondage by the power of the Holy Spirit. They didn't give them methadone. You went to Teen Challenge and you went cold turkey, and they didn't say, well, we can't break all the addictions at once, so you can still drink and you can still smoke. They said, no, no alcohol, no tobacco, no drugs, no porn, no TV. You're going to be studying the Word of God, and you're going to be crying out to Him to release you from this bondage. And you know what? People got free, and they still do today. And it is the most amazing program out there. You know what the state programs and the federal programs and most of the private programs offer in the way of addiction recovery? 2, 4, 6% recovery rates. Really good ones might be up to 6. Most of them are under 5%. There is no addiction that is too strong for God to break, but you don't want to go through the addiction process. Is that clear? You ask any former addict, and they won't say, oh, it's no big deal. They'll say, I nearly died. Nearly destroyed my life. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom. He broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. Some became fools through their rebellious ways. What a wonderful description of our culture. It is crazy the way people are living. And the consequence was they loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then, verse 19, say it with me. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent forth His word and healed them, and He rescued them from the grave. So what should they do? Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of His works with songs of joy. Others went out on the sea in ships, They were merchants on the mighty waves. Does it say that there's anything wrong with what they're doing? Are they sinning out there? No, but they're about to experience something that's going to scare them badly. They saw the works of the Lord and his wonderful deeds in the deep because he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. Where did this storm at sea come from? God. God spoke and stirred up the waves so that their boat is being tossed up and down. My brother was in the Navy and he said, I didn't know that it could be that tough. He said, one minute you're down in a valley with water way up over the sides of the boat. I mean, it's like a wave over there and a wave over there and you're down here. And the next minute, whoosh, you're up on top and it's like a cliff over there and a cliff over here. And he said, it was disorienting. He said, I had no idea it could be that bad. That's what's being described here. He spoke and churned and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. But it was good for them. Why? Because they were at their wits' end. What are we going to do? Say it with me. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. Does it remind you anything in the New Testament where Jesus is asleep in the boat? The water's crashing over the top of the boat. Fishermen are afraid that they're going to drown. And they go to the Lord and they say, don't you care that we're going to drown? Don't you care that we're going to die? Jesus goes up on deck and says, be quiet. And the storm is quiet. That's what it says here. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm and he guided them to their desired haven. So what should they do? Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. And then it describes how God is able to take a river and turn it into a desert, and he's able to take a desert and turn it into a well-watered place. God's able to do that, but I want you to see that it says he does both. He can take somebody who's really prosperous and go, and suddenly they're not prosperous anymore. And he can take somebody who's really poor and go, and suddenly they are filled with blessing. And I've sat with people as they wept tears of joy, saying, only the Lord could have done this for us. We don't deserve this wealth. God's given this to us, and we want to be good stewards of it. God is the one who is able to bless and who's able to curse. And when it says in verse 39, then their numbers decreased and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. God will sometimes put you through difficult times, not because he doesn't love you, but because he wants you to depend fully on him. Jesus sent his dear disciples out on a mission and said, you can't take any money with you. You can't take a change of clothes. You can't take extra things. Can't take any food. You just go out and do what I say. Why? What's wrong with having that stuff? Jesus wanted them to depend on him. If you're not willing to depend on God, then you don't know him like you should. God wants you to depend on him, and whatever he says to do, you're willing to do it. He lifted the needy up out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. So, whoever is wise, let him heed these things. Pay attention to these things and consider the great love of the Lord. And when you know that the King who made everything and rules over all loves you, talk about lifting a burden off your shoulders.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.